In Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Just 14 words in the English translation in the NIV, but 14 words that are absolutely packed with revelations and power and implications for our lives. In fact, I would rejoice if those 14 words were spoken at my eulogy. Harry walked with God. And Harry is no more, because God took him away. In fact, all of us should want to have a eulogy like that. Let's try to grasp this, shall we? Let's start with the first four words. Enoch walked with God. Now, you know that expression, walking with God. It's a figurative use of the word walk. It means many things, but it means making decisions that are guided by him, very much like what I.B. was praying. Making decisions in God's will, things that please God. It's a life that reflects God's glory. That's walking with God. It's being a true friend of God and not just an acquaintance. A friend of God daily, a person who knows God as your brother and your friend. Now, in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, we had the privilege as human beings to walk with God literally and enjoy the blessings of being in close proximity and communion and fellowship with him. But after the fall, that literal walk with God has become a spiritual privilege that we have. In Genesis 17, verse 1, God said this to Abram. God said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, you know what walking with God is all about. You also need to know this. It's not easy to walk with God. In fact, it can be very difficult in our lives to really do that and to walk with God. We're distracted by the world. We're distracted by the pains in our body. We're distracted by the financial challenges in our lives. We're distracted by our family members. We're distracted by our employment situation and the work. And we're distracted when our feet hurt. We're distracted when our cars don't work. We're very distracted when our computers break down. We're distracted people. And sometimes it's hard to walk with God in situations like that. Now, you may be thinking, well, it was easier for Enoch to walk with God because those were in the earliest days of recorded history. It was a lot easier for him than it is for us today. Well, let's think about that. Who was Enoch in that genealogy that we talked about? He was the great-grandfather of one of the most famous characters in the Old Testament. His great-grandson was Noah, about whom we read earlier today. And now, what was the condition of mankind during the days of Noah? We read about it in Genesis 6. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil all the time. God was deeply pained by that, as you know, and he sent a great flood to wipe out mankind, except, of course, for Noah and Noah's family. But that condition that broke God's heart so much didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually as more and more people began to populate the earth. Sin increased among the people. It developed and it evolved into something that God just could not tolerate anymore. That level of moral decline was growing and festering during the days of Enoch. Yet, Enoch walked with God. Now, what about our world today? Are we in a moral decline? Some people would say no. We are in a moral nosedive. But we are still called to walk with God. Now, suppose the prophet Hosea were interviewed on CNN tonight, and he were asked to comment on the entertainment life of people in America, then perhaps his words in chapter 4 would be just as appropriate today as they were then. Listen to what he said. He said, "The Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed." What I have just described to you is the plot of a movie playing at the Cineplex in IMAX in 3D this afternoon. It's also what TV Guide is describing about the shows that will be on CBS and NBC tonight. We live in a culture that's just like the culture Hosea was condemning. And yet, we're supposed to walk with God in the midst of all that wickedness, as we know. The great flood came. The only other person in the Old Testament that is described as one who walked with God was Enoch's grandson, Noah. And we are called to do the same. That great grandparent had influence on his great grandson. You great grandparents out there, you grandparents out there, you are having an influence on your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. By your walk, they are learning to walk with God. And you can have an impact on their lives that will change them forever. And I'm just sure that Enoch did that for Noah. Brothers and sisters, don't you want your eulogy to say that you walked with God? Of course you do. And of course we should follow the example of Enoch. He had faith in God, and he pleased God. He didn't live a perfect life, of course. Only Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. But he was a uniquely spiritual man who lived a life that was so close to God that he and Noah share that wonderful eulogy. His witness, his faith, his example should encourage us and inspire us and convict us. Now, walking with God. Somebody has made a comment about walking with God. They said, when you walk with God, you get where he's going. I like that. Walking with God is not something that just happens overnight. It's something that happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and it doesn't happen just then. It begins then, and then the walk progresses through the process of sanctification. We are on a walk. We are on a pilgrimage going to be with him forever and ever. It's very similar to our learning to walk as babies. Now, you parents out there, you remember what it was like to teach those little ones to walk? They stood on those little wobbly legs, and you held them up, and they were very delighted with themselves for being able just to stand up, and you said, come to Daddy, come to Mommy. And then you wanted them to come, and of course they fell down over and over and over, and you picked them up, and you helped them again, and you encouraged them, come to me. So you were helping them and protecting them all the way. And that's exactly what it's like when we walk with God, when we learn to walk with God. The Heavenly Father says, come to me. Come to me. I'll help you. I'll protect you. He knows we're going to fall. He knows we're on wobbly spiritual legs. He knows that we're going to pick ourselves up and try again. But he's there to protect you and to help you and encourage you. Do you remember the great benediction in the book of Jude? It begins like this. To him who is able to keep you from falling. To him who is able to come to me. I'm able to keep you from falling. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Praise God. He not only wants us to walk with him, he wants to walk with us. That's why he created us. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be close to you as he was to Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, here's something about walking with God that everybody needs to know. It has nothing to do with age. You can be a babe in Christ. You can be a baby at any age in Jesus Christ. You may have a few decades under your belt, but maybe you have never learned how to walk with God. It takes baby steps. It takes trial. It takes error. It takes some confidence-building faith for us to be able to learn to walk with him. If you have wobbly feet in your spiritual life today, remember that he is able to keep you from falling. So trust in him. Let him guide you. Come to him. Walk with him. And he will walk with you. But here's something else that everyone needs to know about walking with God. As earthly parents, our goal is to teach that baby to walk and be independent. But God's goal is the opposite. He wants to teach us to walk, and he wants us to grow in dependence upon him in that walk. It's a little bit like the woman who got a job at a textile mill. And there's a sign there, and on her first day she read it, and it says, "If your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman." Well, her thread became tangled. And she thought, "I'll just straighten it out myself." And the more she tried, the worse it got. It just became an utter mess. She gave up, and she called the foreman. He came to her side, and she said, "I'm sorry, I did the best that I could." And he said, "No, you didn't. You didn't do the best you could. If you had done the best you could, you would have called me and allowed me to help you. If you have some knots in your life, don't try to work them out on your own. Call the foreman. Call the foreman and say, 'Help me. Help me. Walk with me.' God wants you to call on him. He's there for you. He's at the other end of the line waiting for it to ring. Call him and say, 'God, help me.'" That's one of the prerequisites for walking with God, is that you approach him. Now, here's that biblical description again. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. That is a remarkable revelation in the scriptures. God took him away. In other words, Enoch did not have to experience death. Wow. Wouldn't you like to be able to be like that and not have to experience death? Here today, gone tomorrow. Gone where? To heaven. It was a miraculous, wonderful translation from this earth into the heavenlies, into eternal. God reached down and took him. Here again, Enoch shares this distinction with only one other man, and it's not Noah. It's Elijah. It says in the Bible that God took Elijah into heaven without having to experience death. I'm jealous. Forgive me, Lord, I'm jealous. I don't want to experience death. I'd like to be taken up miraculously in the same way that Enoch and Elijah enjoyed and be with you and not have to go through this thing called death. Wouldn't you? Yeah, amen, somebody. Well, if you and I walk with God the way Enoch did, maybe we wouldn't have to experience death, and maybe he would just take us into heaven. But wait, that could still happen. In fact, Enoch told us about it. It's not in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Enoch was talking about sinful man, and he prophesied, and his prophecy is quoted in the book of Jude in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to what it says. Quoting Enoch, "See, The Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Did you catch the emphasis there? In case you didn't catch it, he was crying out against the ungodliness of mankind, against our ungodliness that sinners like them and sinners like us continue to embrace when we walk in the ways of the world. Enoch, who walked with God, is among the countless others who have flipped the Bible and they've gone to the final chapter and they tell us how it's going to end. Aren't we glad we know the final chapter? Jesus is coming with a host in heaven. He's coming to judge mankind. He's coming to open the gates of heaven. He's coming to those who are redeemed to take him there. He's coming like he did Elijah and Enoch. He's going to take us. Brothers and sisters, if that happens while we're still alive here on earth, then we won't have to experience death. Hallelujah. But even if we do have to experience death on this side of heaven, we can still sing some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. You know that hymn, right? Sidebar, I remember one Sunday morning I had the men at Chapel Gate Presbyterian Church form a choir, and they sang that hymn, and boy, did they sing it. I'll fly away. And one of the pastors who's no longer there said to me after the service, he said, why did you have to have him sing I'll fly away? He didn't like it very much. And I said, well, it's biblical. It's biblical. And whether or not this happens in our eulogies, you know, that we walked with God and therefore taken into heaven. We are going to be taken into heaven at some point. And you know who's going to be looking on, or one of the people that's going to be looking on? Enoch. Enoch's going to be there. You can wave to him, hi, Enoch, and he'll wave back. And you'll say, wow, what was it like for you? This is great for me. And Elijah will probably laugh too. God didn't use many words to tell us about this man, Enoch, but he gave us some outstanding direction in our lives, our, as I've said, life lessons in this revealing Old Testament character. But we haven't covered everything yet that God told us about him, because there's still the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 and the words of Paul. And this is how we started last week, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now the second name in the list. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Before he was taken, before Enoch was taken, that means this life, right here, right now, on earth, where you and I are walking today. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. That's the opportunity that you and I have right here today, to please God. Does your life please God? Does my life please God? Does your life please God? If you have any doubts about that, there's still time to fix it. I wish I had some way of telling you how much time you have to fix it. God knows, the answer to that? Obviously, we don't. You've probably heard this quote. A lot of people wait until the 11th hour to repent. The problem is they die at 10:30. There's no better time to mend your walk with God than now. 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 Not at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Now. Back to Hebrews. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you believe he exists? I'm pretty sure I know the answer to that one. But do you earnestly seek him? You know the answer to that one. And God knows the answer to that one. I don't. I don't have to. You do. Remember what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want to close with Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Listen to these wonderful words once again. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, I confess to you that I want to be grown up. I don't want to be a baby. I don't want to have wobbly legs. I'm not sure that I want to hear you sometimes say, come to me. But Lord God Almighty, when you do, I pray that I will walk directly to you and rely upon you to help me walk this life in a way that pleases you. And Lord, I do look forward, we all look forward to that time when we will come to our heavenly home. We look forward, Lord, to your taking us to yourself. And may your face smile upon us as we walk daily closer and closer to that time when you will take us to be with you. To that end, Lord, we make this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who prepared the way. Amen.